Ori da dini da ji kumta sambo da riri la ji tambo ji dan chunju ji wa goni chir tenba dini yang ji na ziga jiwar ji ba yonde di da jiwar ji ba da ji yun thar ji tong dwa di sumriri goni san ji kumta yang di goni san da ji kumta yang di goni san da binda kumta yang wa ji da dini ra goni sum sum goni jiwar tena baba yinba yindu Rita Jigan Sandi, that in a Jigan Bayan. The Gendo Kumjodi, or Jigan Dagoni, Jigan Rubayon, then some Kuroyon, then some, or that the Sambo, Sambo Rini, Rubayon, then some Bodi, or Jigan Chajer Jigan, then some Chajer. だ、ルバ、ルバコランダチバジョ。おじだてに、ん、トゥヨンデン、トゥヨンデンサンボディ、タウサルニンブイシャウサンボディ、チェジョディ、ん、タングラリトゥヨンデンセナ、ジュ、ルトゥルセドゥトゥヨンデンチェジシバ、イゴニシバヨンドゥ、だてテルトバコンデソゾル。
So we are on verse 13, talking about the qualities of the rare and sublime Sangha object of refuge. Like with all of the previous stanzas, the first stanza kind of, you know, offers a praise and a general sort of introduction to what Sangha is, and then the latter verses kind of explain more in detail, and the last stanza kind of does a condensed presentation. So with regards to the qualities of the Sangha, then there are these three qualities attributed to to the awareness or to the knowledge, and the three qualities that are attributed to the three types of liberation out of the three types of obscurations. That we talked about earlier. So that's that within this verse, obeisance to those who having thoroughly realized the limit or the peace of selflessness in all transmigrators through perceiving the non-inherent existence of the entities of the afflictive emotions due to the natural clear light of the mind, perceive perfect Buddhahood as residing in all to those whose intelligence is unobstructed and who are endowed with the sight of the exalted wisdom that has as its objects the purity and infinity of all sentient beings. So, you have the Rumchi and Taba the Sewa the Nyimbu Yundin Kwashan. The purity, the clarity, and the antidotal qualities are the qualities of three qualities of liberation, and the three qualities of the awareness or the knowledge. Then is the knowing the varieties of phenomena, knowing the ultimate mode of the phenomena, and from which Rupe Yundan Sumla, Jitawa Kemba, Jiniva Kemba Da. One's own individual consciousness, then knowing or cognizing. And so now we go to the three refuge, verse 19, the three refuges. In order to show the qualities of the teacher, teaching, and learners, the three refuges were posited in terms of those of the three vehicles and those devoted to the three observances of the individual refuge. So the three vehicles are the Shravaka path, the Pratyeka path, the hearer's path, soul to realizer's path, and the Mahayana path make up the three vehicles. And the refuge here is in the context of the causal refuge and the resultant refuge. And the first verse talks primarily from the point of view of the causal refuge in relation to the objects of one's refuge. Then, making prostrations or homage, and then making request. And in verse 20, then talks about differentiating between what is an ultimate object of refuge and what is a conventional object of refuge. So this verse here defines the reasons as to why, it defines the characteristics of a conventional object of refuge, because because abandoned, the verbal doctrine is abandoned, and because it has the quality of deception, because the realizational doctrine in the continuum of a superior, of a bodhisattva superior, has the quality of deception. So because of abandoning, and because of the quality of deception, and because of a cessation is a mere non-existence, and non-Buddhists have fright. These are the four reasons that establish it as a conventional object of refuge. The two forms of doctrine here, refer to scriptural doctrine and, you know, the experiential or realized doctrine, and the community of superiors respectively are not the supreme eternal or refuge. Because they are not ultimate objects of refuge, then by these reasons, they are identified as conventional objects of refuge. From the Sangye Gi Thugyu Gi Yuen Den Da Sangye Pabe Gi Gi Lung Da To Bes Di Khadu Niran Da Chume. For example, the scriptural and the realized doctrine teachings in the case of an arhant on the hearer's path and soul to realizer's path, then are identified as a relative or conventional object of refuge, but in the case of the scriptural and realized teachings of the Buddha, in the case of a Buddha's holy mind, then identified as an ultimate or eternal ultimate object of refuge. So when in the Dharma object of refuge, you have, the scriptural teachings and the realized teachings, and in the case of the Sangha object of refuge, then also you have in the case of the Sangha, in the case of the arhants of the hearer's path and solitary realizer's path, their scriptural and their realized doctrine. Then the reason why they are not eternal or ultimate objects of refuge is because they are to be abandoned, because they are to be abandoned, just like a ship Once you cross that water, then, like a ship that is left behind because you have already made it across. In the same way, then, because of that characteristic of the verbal doctrine is because of that being abandoned, then for that reason, then it is regarded as not being an ultimate object of refuge.
And in the same way,
in the second quality, which makes it a conventional object of refuge in the case of the realized teachings, realized dharma doctrine in the case of the hearers or the solitary realizers, their realization of the doctrine are regarded as again a conventional object of refuge because it has the quality of deception or because it is fallible. The reason why it has that quality of deception is because it has yet to come free of all of the defilements, and because it has yet to come free of the defilements, then it is still deceptive or fallible. Although it appears to be stainless, yet, just as how it appears in the reality of the fact, it is not the case. So, with that respect, then it is said that the realized doctrine, in the case of the hearers and the solitary realizers, then has the quality of deception or being fallible.
And then,
in the case of the arhants, the four destroyers of the hearer's path, when they attain their state of liberation here can be liberation with remainder, liberation without remainder. The reason why that is not an ultimate object of refuge, why it still is a conventional mode of the object of refuge, is because of non-existence, because a cessation is a mere non-existence. That state of extreme peace is just attained through pacifying, delusions and its result suffering, afflicted mind, affliction and its result suffering. But on the other hand, it has yet to accomplish total extinguishment of all defilements, and so therefore it is regarded as a cessation which is a mere non-existence, because it has yet to totally extinguish complete defilements, and a state of peace is just a cessation of just delusion and as a result suffering. And so therefore it's a conventional object of refuge. And non-Buddhists have fright. Non-Buddhists have fright. He refers to the fact that, in the case of the Arya Sangha on the hearer's path and solitary realizer's path, these Arya Sangha arhants on that path, then the reason why they are not established as ultimate objects of refuge, but a reason why they are just conventional objects of refuge, is because they have the fright. What the fright here refers to is the fright of the obscuration to omniscience, the obscuration to knowing. And verse 21 establishes what is the sole ultimate object of refuge. Ultimately, the refuge of transmigrators is just the sole Buddha, because the subduer has the body of doctrine and thus is the doctrine, and because a Buddha is the finality of the community. In the case of the Buddha, the reason why the Buddha is established as an ultimate object of refuge is because the holy mind embodying the quality of true cessation and true path has is a cessation which has ceased both of the two obscurations, the obscuration of delusions and the obscuration to knowing, or obscuration to omniscience as well. And so therefore it is an ultimate dharma object of refuge, having generated true cessation, true path in at that level of having overcome both of the two obscurations. And as an Arya Sangha, then, because of those qualities, then, the community of the in the case of a Buddha, in the context of the Arya Sangha, then, is regarded as an ultimate object of refuge.
ཁོ་གི་དེ་ནེ་གོ་ནི་གང་གོ་བེ་ཆབ་དང་དང་དང་བེ་གི་དེ་ཆབ་གི་ན་ཡོ་སོ་སོ་རི་ཆེ་ན་མ་རི་ཅན་སེན་དང་གི་གོ་ནི་དེ་ཆེ་པ་དེ་ཏ་ཏ་དེ་ཨོ་ནི་གི་ཡོང་ཨ་ཁོ་ཤར་སེ་གི་ཡོང་ཨ་ཁོ་ཤར་ཏ་མི་ཤན་དེ་དེ་ཤར་དང་གི་དེ་གི་ཇན་ཅི་ཤར་དང་ཆོང་ནི་ཡོ་མེ་ཤར་ཁོམ་ཆ་གི་ཡོ་སེ་གི་ཆུ་ལོ་ག་ཅི་བོ་དེ་ད་ཁོམ་ཆ་ག that Rashi song java yung 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 that riri ni yung yung.
And so in the verse 21 then establishes that in the Buddha, basically as the ultimate or as the ultimate object of refuge, then it is both the Buddha object of refuge, Dhamma object of refuge, and Sangha object of refuge because of those qualities of having abandoned the two obscurations. And then in verse 22 then establishes the explanation of the six types of reasonings behind the objects of refuge, because of appearing rarely and because of being without defilement, because of having power, because of being the ornament of the world, because of being just superior, and because of being changeless, they are called jewels, rare and sublime. So the first quality is like a very rare and precious jewel. The three objects of refuge, the three sublime rare objects of refuge are regarded rare in the sense that they appear so very rarely. That they come to pass so very rarely. So in that way, just regarding rare in that context, that it's precious and rare.
Oji dadi nyoa kumbha sanya di chir kumjo sam nyoji nyoa yua ri di yena yang kumjo sam dan treya rawo di kumjo sam dan treya am jaya di ji ngong ge jiwa mambo la ji ntsa ma sa wa dan ji ma sa wa dan chen na nyoa me be ka wa rawo thu ya me ba yen dun na ne ge ba sa ma chen ba nam dan che ba ma tu bi chir ris nyoa kon ya di tin ra ge kun ni nyoa kumbha yen sam yang di.
It's not like the rare sublime three objects of refuge, doesn't happen. But it's like it's rare in relation to oneself, the individual, in encountering such as these three objects of refuge in one's life. Then one requires the roots of merit. And without that fortune, then it becomes a rare encounter in relation to oneself, rare in that context, because of the roots of the meritorious fortune that one needs to encounter it. But it's not saying that generally, in general, you know, that these three objects of refuge are rare, but rare in the context in relation to sentient beings, you know, positive karmic propensity being rare in that context to be able to meet with it and, you know, to have the influence, so forth.
Ojida yonde dikanoni da nyoa kumba tambo da deni nyua di timi chere sigi tama meba sigi di ojida dana yon jerza gwezon dana ojida di zon buwar evin ji nwe rambu ji la pre onzo jong jong yi la pre onzo jong sadr sagi tama meba dan drevas ji bena rambu ji rudi jonsu non na yon na yon chazona ji dirji tama dan tinra ge yak deni mara ti jong ne chatur ji na nang ge rambu ji yon den rawo di chalama da un rawo din thwa ji yuwa yin du ojida tinra na yon go ji ji tama yo mi se ji de ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ
Ranging So, and then the second quality, because of being without defilement, here means, you know, the nature of the object of refuge has this characteristic of being without defilement, stainless. For example, when we, you know, when we sort of mine precious gems from the ground, the, you know, in its nature of the jewels that that you mine, you know, it is stainless or, you know, without defilement. But yet in order to access that kind of stainless and free of defilement, then one needs to remove all the dirt, all the impure impurities that are around it. One needs to sort of, before one can see that kind of radiance or that kind of quality of that gem. So here, the second characteristic is that, you know, that the qualities of the objects of refuge by nature being stainless and undefiled, and yet for us to be able to access, then from our own mind, then one must have faith, belief and trust. So without these kind of virtues of the mind or aspirations of the mind, then one is unable to see pure nature or the undefiled stainless nature of the objects of refuge. Like we say, you know, that the Buddhas, you know, constantly, you know, send out the hook of their compassion. But as long as sentient beings from our side do not send forth the ring of faith and belief, trust and belief, then there is no way we can, kind of hook up with that compassion. So that's the basic idea.
ཨོ་ཅི་དེ་དེ་ནོ་ཡན་བ་ཡན་དུ་ཡོན་དེ་དང་པོ་ཅུང་ཨ་ཀོན་བ་ཉི་བ་དམ་མ་མེ་བ་སམ་བ་དེ་ཐ་དང་དེན་བི་ཆར་སོང་བ་དེ་ཡན་བ་ཡན་དུ 我觉得，工作中的，像老党，像老党，就了点半夜呢，就工作，甚至像老师就这样，就我是讲对干部，讲对经济电影上扬个话的，就对你了，强一个关就对你，那个关就对你，全部关就对你，我个关就对你了，是吧？可是我等你学完那样个，就让个干个来对你，你个着急吧？对。 就刚刚这里是七月七的，一几个第八点不第二周，第二周个第二周天呢，江州县那边的修起外景，他那，你就那那那那他当点把，也把演技，一个点这个前几天你没来，然后江州让人他们要买的，点他有没的，江州他得当，他当车子个一个，像他们几个在的你个，你话你个点个个有啊演的，我就在点当，就点把演呢。
And the third reasoning, because of having power, here what we're talking about is the power of the objects of refuge in rendering their blessings. Yet, in order to be the recipient of the blessings of such of the power of such blessings of the objects of refuge, then from the sentient being's side, then one must have faith. As we talked about, there are these two main causes that generate within our mind the thought of taking refuge. It is the fear of suffering because we fear suffering, then we take refuge. And whatever objects of refuge in whom we take refuge, then in them we have the complete faith or trust or belief in their power or the potential to protect us from whatever level of fear, for which reason one is taking refuge. When we talk about, different levels of refuge, then different levels of refuge is designated on the basis of the different levels of the fear of suffering that we generate, such as on the path and practice of the small scope, then that is the lowest level of fear, then on the medium scope's path and practice, on the high scope's path and practice, so accordingly, then we have more deep or more extensive coverage of whatever we fear about, and then accordingly, have greater and greater levels of faith. So, but here, in order to experience this particular quality of the power of the objects of refuge, in order to be the recipient of the blessings of the power of the objects of refuge, then on the part of the sentient beings, then it is important to generate faith, to generate the thought of refuge, which incorporates our own fear of suffering and faith in the objects of refuge.
What did that? 今天个那今天三八档，大地土个今天一八天，今天今天今日七日时节，我就大地就就那今朝个就江州就就地了，是不？中午江州七点就让进来，今晚也那地就是呢，就我都来咱们去这边，等我都来咱们广播投呀，投呀这档，这里头啊，我老头啊，他们今天不广播投呀个，那个么子就。
Because of being the ornament of the world, how this is understood is that, due to taking refuge out of the resources of one's own fear, generating faith in the objects of refuge, caused by this, then as we undertake the practicing of the path in one's life, and thereby attaining higher states of rebirth, and eventually, working towards the result of liberation, enlightenment, And in attaining those results, then it's like the, you know, attaining the very best of the ornaments of the world. You know, just as just as in the case of ordinary, you know, worldly jewels or ornaments, then they are, you know, they are regarded as ornaments of, you know, for their value or for their greatness. So in the same way, the context of, you know, being the ornament of the world is that, you know, enable the fact that the refuge and the, as a result of this, the subsequent path and practices then enabling us the resultant state of liberation, enlightenment, which is regarded as the you know, attaining the adornment or the ornament of the world.
And
because of being just superior here refers to like in comparison to outer ornaments of the necklaces, earrings, like in comparison to outer adornments or outer ornaments, then the inner qualities that one generates within one's you know, mind, then being are regarded as, you know, highly superior ornaments. The positive qualities that one embodies, then those are the very best of the ornaments. So in that way, you know, that is what is meant by because of being just superior.
And the
sixth quality here is because of being changeless. So just like a precious gem, or a precious metal, you know, when you burn it or whatever you do to it, its nature of being that precious thing is still it's not destroyed. So in the same way, then because of being changeless here refers to the that quality of the three objects of refuge being such that regardless of our activities of praising or criticizing, you know, regardless of our, you know, for example, out of faith or belief or trust, then you know, seeking the blessings, taking refuge, making prayers. Prayers of praise and so forth, or out of ignorance, then despising or disparaging, regardless of the activities on the part of sentient beings, then in the nature of the three objects of refuge, then being changeless.
Or you that you kham diwari jaba nyembu ju kham diwari jaba nyembu senand o ju da ju tinyar jaba ru senand ru de mar ju chea ba wo ndo wo tu yong a yin du o ju ru ru se je dong ta tini ndi da jila ma ga le ba dong bu kap za kom cha sam dur ji ni dang ga na ni kom cha sam bo ri ri ni dong bo dang ni ba sam ba yon de dang ga na ni dur ji ni dang ga na ni dong bo sam dong だてにじわでてにじわでてんばいんでてじわでればたんぼじょしゃりおだてにんばいんでんであんにざんのればたんぼざせわでるじなんじゃてんらばばいんでるでじれしゃまじだればたんぼ
And also, so verse up to verse 22 completes the first three of the seven Vajra points. The first three of the seven Vajra points is the Buddha Dhamma and Sangha. So from verse 23 onwards is the fourth of the seven Vajra points, which is the basic constituent or the element, the Buddha nature or the Tathagata Garbha, describing this nature. So, and then you have the second chapter, which is talks about enlightenment. The third chapter, which talks about the qualities of that enlightenment, and the fourth chapter talks about the activities. And of course, the fifth is the benefit. So, this fourth Vajra point, the element or the Buddha nature or the Tathagata Garbha, is regarded as the reason that enables all of these attainments of enlightenment and quality and activities. It is this basic constituent or element which is the reason enabling all of the latter, Vajra points.
Oji da dina yin ba yin du dan di yin zhou ge ri ba gan dana chao zhong da ye chi cha ni ge wo na ta wa di de kum cha ge kap ji chu ju ge kap ge kum cha ge kap ji da dini da di jin cha pu nyin bu ka wo se ne ru ji kap la ti wa yin du ji go ni sa ji zhang ma du na ni wa ti to shi ji se du wo da cham ru se ji de la ji ji ge rong na ji ta de be ji la chong san bu ji kum cha san di mu pi na wo cha ya ji cha wo se ji ji リチャブセジュディ
So Rinpoche says, if anyone's following the Tibetan commentary, it's on this part of the commentary is on page 82. But here, when we talk about the essence of the essence of the Tathagata state, so this it is on the basis of this that one can actualize one's own future resultant state of refuge, one's resultant on the basis of this that one has the cause or the condition to actualize one's resultant refuge. Usually when we take refuge, you have causal refuge. That when we take refuge in other than ourselves, in a Buddha other than ourselves, a Buddha Dhamma and Sangha other than ourselves, that embodies all the qualities of these three objects of refuge, then using that as the inspiration or the model, then taking refuge in them, taking the blessings, taking the inspiration, so forth. That is like the causal refuge. The resultant refuge is when all of those when all of those qualities of the objects of refuge, when one's own mental continuum embodies them, all, when all of those qualities of the three objects of refuge, is generated within one's own mind, then that is the resultant refuge. And so to be able to actualize this kind of resultant refuge is all because of having the essence, this essence to attain the state of a Tathagata, because of having this element or this Buddha nature. So to explain, primarily because the mind by nature is empty of inherent existence. The emptiness which exists on the basis of the mind. So to explain this, then you have the Buddha nature, which is the naturally abiding Buddha nature, and the Gyengyu, the developing Buddha nature, and developmental Buddha nature. So this is the Buddha nature is explained on the basis of these two natures. So on, then the verse 23 says, those from which the three virtuous jewels arise, reality with defilement and without defilement. The reality with defilement, then refers to, sentient beings' minds. Sentient beings' minds, which has the stain of these defilements. So, these defilements are like the cause and the substantial cause, And without defilement here refers to, the enlightenment, which is within the grasp or which is attainable. Without defilement, referring to the state of enlightenment, for which sentient beings have the propensity to attain.
And
where it says the qualities of undefiled a Buddhahood, you know, referring to the, you know, the qualities of enlightenment, and then the conqueror's activities. The conqueror's activities, you know, the activities of the Buddha, for example, the activities which arise from the three jewels, the blessings that arise out of the three jewels are like the you know, the activities of the Buddha, for which, you know, sentient beings are the recipients, you know, are the recipients of these activities. And where it says, the fourth line, are the objects just of those directly perceiving the ultimate? So are are the objects just of those directly perceiving the ultimate? It is the object of the, you know, of the Buddhas, object of the object of the exalted wisdom, seeing the ultimate nature of all phenomena. So as that, then they are the objects of those directly perceiving the ultimate. So within this verse 23, you have these the cause of these four, you know, the four these four natures, reality with defilement and without defilement, and the qualities of the undefiled Buddhahood, and the conqueror's activities are the four natures. So and then in the lineage of these three jewels is an object only of those perceiving all, meaning the enlightened mind. For it is inconceivable due to four reasons in accordance respectively with those four aspects.
Tak kawa samji macam apa tak kawa itu orang yang gugur.
Where it says, for it is inconceivable due to four reasons, meaning the inconceivable here refers to the reality of sentient beings defilement, which is inconceivable, without defilement being inconceivable, and the qualities of undefiled Buddhahood and the quality of enlightenment also being inconceivable, and the activities of the Buddhas or the conquerors also being inconceivable. So in the actual format of the commentary, then in the Gyaltsa Rinpoche's commentary, then he takes a sutra sutra quotation, a quote from the sutra to substantiate these points, and then applies the logic or the reasoning like that. So this is how it goes in the commentary. But Rinpoche says, will not be going. Rinpoche won't be going through that kind of detail, but more just on the basis of the root text. So with regards to the verse 25, because the basic realm is pure but appears to be afflicted. And so here, with this line, what it is referring to is that in the case of the the first of the four or characteristic, which is the reality with defilement, is saying that whatever defilements exist in sentient beings, then they are temporary, adventitious defilements. And it is not a defilement which has existed from the very beginning. It is not a beginningless, inherently existent defilement as such, and that it is just an adventitious defilement which can be extinguished.
Number you are may choose her in the Daddy in G.
So because it can be extinguished, so you have the second, because enlightenment is unafflicted but appears to be purified. And because the Buddha qualities are undifferentiated phenomena, even at the time of common being, but are not manifest. So he is saying that, the mind being empty of true existence, in the case of a sentient being with defilement, and in the case of on the basis of a mind which is undefiled, that mind being empty of true existence, and a defiled mind being empty of true existence. In being empty of true existence, in emptiness, that they are of one taste. So that is what's meant by undifferentiated phenomena, that in emptiness they are all of one taste. And then the fourth line, and because the Buddha activities are spontaneous but without conceptuality, these four are inconceivable by common beings. So this fourth quality of spontaneity is the quality of the resultant state of enlightenment, the quality of enlightenment as stated in the third chapter, saying that what is one of the characteristics of that quality of enlightenment is the spontaneity in the activities benefiting sentient beings.
That in the Yamba Yendu, that Sanjoko Yondin Gita, Livis Zumba, that Livis Java, what you Yondin Gun Tunli, Shelly, the Yamba Yendu, what you that de la Toksha Topa, de Yenu, Yano Topa, the Shishir, de Yasinida, de Songa Yendu, that Tunli Zija de la Sanjigo, you Chamber, you Shelly Don, Tunli, I'm Shelly Don, or that Silver Shelly, I'm Tunli.
And then verse 26, the basic constituent that is the object to be realized, the enlightenment that realizes it, the Buddha qualities that are the branches of this and the Buddha activities that are for the sake of causing realization. So these two lines describe in essence the fourth chapter, which talks about the qualities of in the resultant state of enlightenment, you know, in the type of the activities generated, the quality of the activities that are generated by an enlightened mind, such as the activities of the omniscient mind, the activities of the mind of loving compassion. So if you take the analogy of a person with an axe, you know, doing the undertaking the act of function or the action of cutting the trunk of a tree. So the individual person and the axe have the potential, have the propensity for cutting something, and the actual act of cutting that trunk and and the cutting of the wood into pieces, is the function. In the same way, then, to have these cut up pieces of wood, then it's dependent on the woodcutter and the axe. In the same way, when as sentient beings, then when we take refuge in the three supreme objects of refuge, generate faith and belief, then we become receptacle or recipient to receive the blessings of the objects of blessings of the objects of refuge. So in the same way, like in the case of the Buddhas, by their activity of giving the out of compassion, then giving the teachings, and as a result of those teachings, then sentient beings being able to practice the path and attain the results of liberation and enlightenment. So to have that result, to have that result of liberation enlightenment, comes out of the Buddha's act of giving teachings and their qualities of compassion and the omniscient mind and so forth like that. So in through this, then as sentient beings, then we can say we receive the blessings of the divine activities of the Buddha.
Tak
And now the part where it says, of these respectively, the first topic here means with regards to the basic constituent or the element, the Buddha nature. Is the cause of purification because of the being defiled and the purification and the other three are the conditions of purification, the conditions of purification are without defilement, qualities of undefiled Buddhahood, and the conqueror's activities, like that. So Rinpoche was just mentioning that if people are following any of the Tibetan text, then it's on page 92. So in order to access this kind of purification, then what needs to be realized is the emptiness on the basis of the mind. The emptiness of the mind, or the emptiness on the basis of the mind. So as long as one does not realize have the understanding with regards to the nature of the mind, then one cannot overcome the defilement with regards to the mind. One cannot generate that kind of direct perception into emptiness. And where it says is the cause of purification, it is not a cause as in the context of cause and result, but it is a cause in being an inspiration or a point of focus. The direct cause to bring forth the result of enlightenment is basically the transcendental wisdom mind of that state of equipoise, which acts as the direct cause. So where it says the other three are the conditions of purification. And these other three here refer to the enlightenment, the qualities of that enlightenment, and the pure activities of that mind of enlightenment. Then these are like the cooperative conditions, the conditions to enable that purification of those defilements. Okay. So Rinpoche says, Rinpoche will stop here, and then if people have questions with regards to these points, then you can ask.
When the text refers to that only the Buddha is ultimate refuge, I'm assuming the ultimate doesn't mean ultimate as in ultimate truth. Could Rinpoche explain what ultimate means in that?
Rinpoche says, "Kyami sangye nyachik yin nyachik yin. Kyami sa tambe Rinpoche the shloka tambe dundo dwayi.
Kyami sangye nyachik yin.
Rinpoche says, as an absolute refuge, Rinpoche says, Tendambar. Absolutely, because of those qualities of having attained the state of total irreversible state, and having attained those the abandonment of the two obscurations, so forth. Because of all of those qualities, then the Buddha is regarded as the peerless, absolute kind of object of refuge. Tendambar. Rinpoche tanda kunzo bada tendambe tendambar suwe.
Ori tendambar.
Yes.
Tendambar se duin chodan timona kuwa yin.
It's ultimate in the sense of supreme, the very peak, or the peerless, like that.
In verse 97 and 98, since we will not
obey.
Hear
the
text.
Since we get it, I don't even have the Tibetan text here.
Well, it's very simple. Because since we won't get to the point here, I thought to ask you. It's really talking about the example of the Buddha nature, the Buddha dwelling in a lotus, in other lotus, and honey, in the middle with the kernel inside the husk, gold within the pool. You know, the image of the Buddha wrapped inside a tattered garment.
97, 98.
It's these examples related to Buddha nature.
How come you have 97? Mine doesn't run that far. Which one are you talking about?
The Buddha's like in a decaying lotus, that one?
Yeah.
How do you...
And maybe like the Buddha image wrapped inside a tattered garment.
Just like a Buddha in the decaying lotus. Tanda metho bema rwa kasugre rudu be nalolya.
Shuluka tonka jidu garasi.
Gubchu kobdu. Gubchu kobdu. Do we have? Yeah. Metal don't even know Lolia. Lia Sange Yavati, honey in the middle of many bees. And Dengzi. And so what's the question with regards to this? These are the different different analogies utilized to portray the Buddha nature in sentient beings. You know, these are the nine examples, the nine examples and the nine meanings that are attributed to the Buddha nature in sentient beings. And the cauldron, which is Sikasha Surunas. In verse 9:7, where it says, like a Buddha dwelling inside an ugly lotus is the first example of the Buddha nature. Honey in the middle of the bees, second. A kernel inside a husk, gold within a field. A treasure of jewels in the earth, under the house of the destitute. And the capacity of growing stalks. And so forth, existing in a small seed, and the image of a Buddha made from a precious substance inside a tattered garment. These are like the. Did you get nine? Okay. And then the Lord of Humans, who is a universal monarch inside the womb of a lowly woman, and a precious golden image in an earthen mold, are the nine examples to illustrate our Buddha nature in sentient beings. This naturally pure essential constituent dwells in sentient beings, obscured with adventitious defilements of afflictive emotions.
Verse 99
explains the context or the meaning of the previous nine examples. Rinpoche says, you take the example, then you apply the meaning as explained in the verse 99. So you take one example from the example from verse 98, and then the meaning of that example from verse 99, like that. That's how you understand.
ဒီမှာရှင်ဘာကမှာရောက်တဲ့ဒီနောင်ရဲ့တမသာကြီးကိုစံကြည့်တဲ့ကတောင်းရည်ဒီဒီလိုရည်တမလိုရည်တမိမှာဒုတ်ဒီဝါဒီမှာကာလီကိုစရနဒီနောင်ကိုစံကြည့်တဲ့ကတောင်းပန်းရည်ဒီမှာ
For example, like the honey, which is in the middle of the bees or in the honeycomb, you know, then, you know, in order to extract that honey, then you use various skillful means whereby which you can avoid all the pitfalls of the bees and, you know, be able to extract the pure honey from the comb. In the same way, then, the emptiness on the basis of the mind, defiled mind of sentient beings, these defilements which are adventitious defilements, then, from there, then, utilizing the skillful means of generating the recognition of the emptiness of the mind, and then generating the realization of it. For example, in order to generate the recognition of the emptiness on the basis of the mind, then first of all, then one has to identify the defilements, which defilements may, you know, of the primarily the three poisonous states of mind. So if you take the example of the, you know, the honey in the middle of many bees, then, you know, for example, if you don't know how to extract the honey carefully, then you have the anger of the swarm of the bees. So that is that is associated with the defilement of anger and hatred, overcoming that obstacle in order to access the emptiness on the basis of the mind. The emptiness on the basis of the mind, which is obscured or defiled by the poison of by the affliction of anger, then it's like the anger of the bees, when someone comes to take the honey. In the case of these examples, then you apply it to the on each of these examples, then one aspect symbolizes the ignorance grasping at true existence. Another part of that example refers to the imprint of that mind of ignorance, like that. Go
ahead. Go. I'm interested in how it is that it's considered that this text is by Maitreya instead of Asanga.
Chamchu Deng said the Yao Chambes Sun Yimba Kachin Wizigores, the Yikos Kone Papa Thomas Sunzans.
Hori Daddy, Papa Tommy Gamara Kadula, Papa Tommy Gardin Hyerap, Chaman the Nichu, Tani, you daddy, D. Kabgo, you die Yitalanqua in Jirwa, daddy, Sons of Critic Tony, Ryan Bayan, do that, Marathi, religion, the Jew.
The text is attributed to Maitreya because it was Asanga received these specific teachings in this particular in the aspect of these five texts by going to the pure land of Maitreya. And receive, directly receiving these instructions. So, Asanga is regarded as the scribe of those teachings, the teachings are attributed to Maitreya. When you have the collection of the Kangyur teachings and the Tengyur, which is Tengyur teachings are regarded as the collection of all the commentaries by the great Indian masters. So these five texts are in the category of the Tengyur, the collection of the commentaries. So over the many different generations, you know, there has been many old translations and later translations kind of improving on the precise or the correctness of those translations.
Verse 19,
I was wondering what the three observances are. Rinpoche in Tanda, Shulobo, Guba, Tumba, 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 Labdungi, Sechorva, Dinani, Kyopsum number Shabayin Mövan Namgi Wong Chene Kyopsum Nam
Richard's number Shabayin
Tiposum Ta
Tabasum Ta Shisum Las
Chisum La
Vajida Tabasanji Jongendi Vajida Chutumba Sanji Vajida Ti Tembala Nongo Tembana Tabo Temba Niwari ཁྱི དང 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 deba, Gindo Kumjana Ichiva, Deba Jiva, Goni, Luji Goni, Shaksheba, Moko Goni, Zanganda Deva, Taiji Goni, Deba Jiva Lazaba, Shashi, Lisam Lamu, and Amji on the Shini, Yon Chapsum Japa in a song of building.
Rumchi says, Rumchi Mubasum Yorbe.
Just as
you have three objects of refuge and the three vehicles, and then those devoted to the three observances refers to, you know, when we take refuge, then you have the refuge at the level of those who have yet to enter the path. You know, in the case of ordinary sentiments who have yet to enter the path, meaning having yet to enter the path of, accumulation or path of preparation, but still in relation to these three objects of refuge, have faith, have, you know, having belief, having respect, like that. So, and then, the level of, refuge as practiced by those who have entered the path, those on the path of accumulation or path of preparation, like that. And Rumchi, Lamashuche, Lamashugi, Kap Dundachiche.
No, Lama Mashiwa, Jimura Ishitanga, Litamboa, that the Su Ishitini were the Su on the Shinni. That the Conga on the Shinni Chapson Jina Brizabai, and so on.
Rumchi Sumba, the Kadishawa.
Karisumba.
Rumchi, So the three observances are with regards to the the expression of in expressing one's refuge then doing physical prostrations, verbal prostrations or prayers and praises, mentally generating our faith, belief or trust. And so, such as these practices that are undertaken at a level of, at a level when one has yet to enter the path, at a level when one has entered the path, and in the scope of, the three vehicles, on the individual vehicle of the, the hearers and the salt realizers path, or in the Mahayana vehicle. So in the context of the three vehicles, then, the three observances of the activities of one's body, speech, and mind, at the stage of, before entering the path and after entering the path, like that. Go ahead.
And in order to understand that better, how does that relate to consciousness? And if I could ask, where does it go when we sleep?
Where does it go?
When we sleep.
Where does it go when we sleep?
Rumchi says when we go to sleep, the gross sensory consciousness, sensory perceptions, five sense perceptions, then they kind of subside or become dormant, and so at the time of sleep, what becomes active is the mental, subtle mental consciousness, which is able, which manifests in a way in which it is able to have the appearances of the dreams and so forth. So the subtle mental consciousness then gets to becomes active at the time when one is asleep, and the five gross consciousness then it's not active, it does not manifest at that time. And then in the case of when we have very, very heavy sleep, then again mental consciousness is unable to unable to have that experience of the appearing of objects. The fact that there is a mind, a subtle mind there manifesting, is proven by the fact that we have all of these appearances within our mind. Go ahead.
The first part of her question was
mind and consciousness.
Relationship between mind and consciousness.
Simda. Simda, namshigi pasalala dewa kariyores. Gimme ki pacha josh the similar shower, yignam shi shower. Gimme gigi pacha.
Pojan josadi, the yedan, samdan yedan, namji, sim shiwa nango, samla, munzayam yuariwa.
Rumchi says, in some of the texts, usually we say, you know, mind.
Di sim sejidi, yiji shiwa chiyending.
We say that the mind, consciousness, and the. He is a mental consciousness are all synonyms. They're all the same. But again, in some cases, then when we talk about consciousness, then we talk about the five sensory consciousness and the mental consciousness, and that you know these six sense perceptions. In some contexts, then these are all synonyms. Then in some texts, then they utilize the mind as being the basis upon which all of the imprints of our activities of virtue and non-virtue are imprinted. And so, again, this imprint is born within the mental consciousness. So, for example, when we are asleep, then the consciousness to be able to see form is, you know, is like it has kind of absorbed into the mental consciousness, you know, and the consciousness or the mind able to hear sound, taste, to have tactile sense, you know, all of these to be able to, have contact with the external objects of the five senses, then all of those are sort of absorbed into the mental consciousness.
Or you that, you go in the world, read the Yenayan Tilamaji,
Rumchi says that, you know, in with regards to these kind of studies that you undertake, of course, you know, sometimes it's not convenient, you have time constraints, and that you have to, you know, put a lot of effort and things like that. But, you know, all of these activities, particularly in the course of the study of the Dharma, it's all very, very worthwhile efforts, you know, very fruitful, meaningful efforts. And, you know, especially when you have a teacher who is willing to teach. So in some places, then, you know, although there are people who have much interest to learn the Dharma, to learn about these topics, then not being able to have any access to teachers like that. And so, you know, when you have teachers available, although there are teachers, then they're not being disciples, and in some cases, you know, they're being disciples, and then not having the teachers. So right now, you know, one is free of all of those handicaps in the sense that, you know, you have teachers available, facilities available, and so in, and as long as one has the interest and sees the benefit in it, one should take the opportunity, make use of the opportunity that one has. And Rumchi says, for the past participants of the course, Rumchi really admires, rejoices in your efforts, and thanks you for it. And for those who are considering it for the future, then Rumchi says, you know, there's much benefit to be gained personally for oneself, and much service or benefit enabled through the study, you know, in the activities benefiting others in service of the Dharma like that, then there is much benefit. So Rumchi would like to encourage that for anyone who has the time or the interest in such studies. So Rumchi says, would like to thank the teachers of this course, would like to thank the participants of the course, and would like to thank that it will thank ahead, so that these studies will continue on in the future as well.
Sambo Jujur Abdul Mubarak.
Yeah.